Hello there. Welcome to another episode of Exploring the Eighth House, and I am Miriam Schlossberg. Today we are going to be speaking about grief, more so the process and how it affects us as a whole. Because at some points in our lives, we are going to be faced with grief, which is very difficult for everybody to process. So today, I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Mikkel Harris, who is a licensed psychologist and nationally certified health service provider, associate professor, community advocate, volunteer, and mentor in Los Angeles, California. In her work, Dr. Mikkel focuses on health and wellness and has a particular interest in providing therapy, consultation, and training in the area of grief and loss. Within the last 5 years, Dr. Mikkel has presented at several national and international conferences focused on sharing her expertise in grief and loss, including end-of-life care with children diagnosed with life-limiting conditions. Most recently, she traveled to Spain for international conference presentation, and in May 2016, she's going to be traveling to Argentina to discuss targeted grief intervention for children and families. Personally, Dr. Harris, or Dr. Mikkel, experienced the death of her own mother in December 2012 and has made it her mission to share her grief journey and encourage others to others that are traveling this unique path. And she is finalizing a memoir. It's called Relaxing Into the Pain, My Journey Into Grief and Beyond, where she will share the emotional, physical, and spiritual challenges associated with the grieving process. So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Mikkel. Hello, Dr. Mikkel. How are you doing?
I am wonderful, Miriam. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. It is an incredible pleasure to be able to connect with you and your audience.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm really looking forward to speaking to you. So if you don't mind me asking, I'm going to ask you a few questions. So my first question is could you describe the contemporary understanding of the grief process, including the role of your own personal experience?
Sure. So when we think about grief, one of the things that comes to mind are the stages of grief. And perhaps you and your audience are familiar with Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She's kind of the point person when we think about grief interventions and understanding how to conceptualize the process. What's interesting about her stage theory is that it talks about starting off with kind of shock and denial, and ending in acceptance in terms of how we process the death of a loved one. What I find interesting is that that's something that we continue to talk about today. However, her theory was actually supported and supposed to be used with those who are dying themselves, not the individual who's coping with the loss of a loved one. And so even though that's been the predominant theory in our society, the most contemporary understandings discuss grief not in a linear progression from one phase to the next but much more as a cyclical pattern, and you can have mixed feelings and mixed responses to the grief journey itself, as opposed to occurring step by step. So I think that's really been one of the most important things to kind of dispel in current society.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. So I'm also going to ask you, what impact might grief and loss have on one's mental, physical, and spiritual well-being?
Yeah. So grief, we tend to think about grief from an emotional perspective. And when we think about death and dying, things like, you know, crying after the loss of a loved one, or, you know, mourning in other outward ways come to mind. And those are some of the emotional ways that people may grieve. We tend not to think about the physical and the spiritual components that come along with grief. So as an example, when someone dies, in my clinical work with individuals as well as what the research supports, is that when someone dies, it's not uncommon for the surviving individual to question their own mortality. And death can really bring up issues of spirituality and faith and religious perspectives and so forth. And so grief really encompasses that, as well as the physical elements. So, you know, depending on how the death occurred, as well as who the person is who died, death can result in physical challenges. For example, sleep dysregulation, gastrointestinal problems,
mm-hmm.
and headaches. The list can go on. And so we've really got to think about grief as a very complex process. And in terms of addressing it, we've got to intervene by exploring the physical, emotional, and spiritual components to the individual who survived the death.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, too, you can be grieving over a lost dream, over something that was very close to you. It's not always over somebody who passed away. Not always that. You know, I mean, that's, I think, important for people to understand, too, is that you can grieve over anything that you're very attached to and that you love very much.
Absolutely. When I worked, I trained at the Children's Hospital, Los Angeles, and I worked
mm-hmm.
with children who were diagnosed with cancer for a portion of my training. And in that work, there were kids who had suffered the limb amputations as a result of bone cancers.
Mm.
Even, you know, grieving the loss of a body part. I mean, so you're right. Grief does not necessarily have to deal with or does not only include those who are dealing with the death of a loved one. It can be the death of a relationship or the death of anything, as you said, that the person is attached to and
mm-hmm.
has an affinity for. That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, I've had experiences where I've been dealing with grief over, I'd say, lost dreams, if you will. And
mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, so, I mean, you know, and I've had people say to me, it's ridiculous to grieve over a lost dream. You know, it's time to get over it. But the thing is, if it's important to you, then you just can't get over it. You're going to grieve over it. You're going to grieve.
Well, that's right. And I want to spend a minute talking about something you just said, which is people saying to get over grief.
Mm-hmm.
I think our society, if we think about it as a whole, is just not comfortable talking about death and dying. And
right.
I think that reaction to the grieving individual can be very traumatic. To tell someone to get over grief, really going back to the question about current understandings of grief and loss, grief is really conceptualized as a journey, and it's a lifelong journey. And you might grieve differently as you travel along that path. However, it's not a matter of getting over, it's a matter of getting through and working
right.
through the journey. And so, you know, I think that's a great point of discussion with folks as we interact with people who may be trying to support the grieving individual, is to let them know that that's not really the most comforting thing to say, because
no,
it's not something that you get over.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. So I'm glad that we talked about that. So I'm also going to ask, what are the challenges associated with addressing grief and loss in our society?
I think one of the major challenges is really commenting on the fact that our society does not talk about death. Our society is very focused on present moment experiences. I would argue without a real appreciation for kind of what's next and, you know, what's going to face all of us. As you mentioned at the top of the show, each one of us will experience death, either we'll experience it ourselves, but we also may experience the death of a loved one or an individual or a thing or an idea that's very close to us. And
mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
one of the most important challenges is to be honest about the fact that we're not doing a great job really addressing it
mm-hmm.
and get comfortable with really being clear about our mortality. Because I think that if people can really come to grips with their mortality, we actually live better. When you can embrace the reality of your own death, it changes how you live because you are thinking in the moment. Yes, you're able to appreciate and take in all of the beautiful aspects of each moment, but you're
mm-hmm.
also thinking ahead towards what's going to happen when you're not here. So again, it forces you to live in a much better way, in a more mindful way.
Right. Very good point. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I'm going to ask, what are some practical ways to support those who are journeying through the grief process?
I think there are several tools. I think one of the most important ways to support someone who is grieving is to not make assumptions.
Right.
Kind of going back to the way our society deals with death, one of the assumptions is that after a certain amount of time, and for every individual that's different, but after a certain amount of time that the person's going to get over that. And so we don't need to bring up the loved one or, you know, whatever the person's grieving over. And what I've seen in clinical practice is that individuals who are grieving, in the absence of being able to talk about their loved one after a designated amount of time, they feel very isolated. And it's almost as if the person who lived or the person who died never lived, because they're no longer able to memorialize the person. And so it almost feels to them like their life was lived in vain. So I think not making assumptions about endpoints to grief is one of the most important things. I think another practical strategy is to ask the person who's grieving how they can best be supported, as opposed to making assumptions about how to support them. I'll share a little bit about my own personal experience. When my mom first died, and this is common, I think, to a lot of people who are grieving, there's very readily accessible support to you in the immediate acute phase of the death. You have family calling, you have friends calling, people physically available around the time of the funeral and so forth. And even in the weeks, perhaps month or two after the death, after that, things tend to trickle off. And so the phone calls are, not as frequent. The visitations and the support really seems to decline. And again, one of the assumptions is that, okay, we've been there, time has passed, the person is getting on with their life, because they may be looking at you and seeing that, yes, you're going back to work, yes, you're getting back into your day-to-day activities. They're assuming that signals that you are coping well with that death. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the most important tools is to ask the person who's grieving, how are you? And how can I best support you? Is that you coming over and just sitting with me? Is that you doing something to help me honor or memorialize my loved one? So I think that becomes really important and can make the person who's grieving feel incredibly supported, because they don't feel like they've got to hide how they feel or how they're responding to the grief process.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That's very important. I'm glad you did. Now, are there any other things you want to share with my audience before we close?
Absolutely. I think that grief begins with life. And so I think that as a family, as individuals, to, of course, not in a morbid way to be talking about death, but to shed light. Our society speaks in euphemisms much of the time, even including, the person, I've worked with kids, and so what I've heard parents sometimes say when someone dies is that person is just sleeping. And while it may feel comforting, that can actually do more harm than good. And so I think being direct around what death is and what it means, of course, if you're working with kids, from a developmentally appropriate way. But really facing death head on and realizing that as we talk about death, as I mentioned before, it really opens up the space for us to be able to live. So that would really be my kind of biggest takeaway for the audience, is to embrace death. And as you do that, it helps you live more fully.
Well, thank you, Dr. McHale, for sharing that. Now, how can people get a hold of you?
So one of the ways to get a hold of me is by my email, and that's drmikelharris@gmail.com. That's drmikelharris@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, and my handle is Dr. Mikel. I also have a Facebook page that's dedicated not just to grief and loss, but addressing health and wellness very broadly. So that's facebook.com/ Dr. Mikel. And then I'm also on LinkedIn, so there are many ways. Oh, as well as my professional website, which is MikelHarrisPhD.com. I so enjoy being able to help people, really live more mindfully, live more fully, including how they embrace grief and loss. And so if you go to my Facebook page, You'll be able to learn a lot about a variety of health and wellness issues. And on my website, ways to contact me if you're wanting additional support or training at your organization.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. McKelvey. It was such an honor having you here, and I'm really glad that we were able to uncover the realities of what happens and how we grieve. So thank you so much.
Can I add one thing? Absolutely. As you mentioned at the beginning, I will be finalizing a memoir, and this has been an incredible, beautiful, challenging, and complex journey over the past 3 years since the death of my mom. And so I'm really excited to be in the final stages of completing my own memoir, and I think it will really be eye-opening. The plan that I'm taking with my book is sharing real journal entries across time, so my grief journey, and then helping people really understand, again, that grief is not just an emotional experience, that it is physical, it can be spiritual, and so really being able to dissect all of that. So I'm really excited about that and hope your audience, you know, decides to reach out and learn more about it through the memoir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have yourself a great rest of the day, and everyone, you be well. Bye for now.
Bye.